All right, our man Jake Gaydon is here. Boy, Jake, we got a lot to talk about. Of course, Jake, fresh off the exit day interviews, press conferences that took place over at the Golden 1 Center. But let's start with last night. Jake Gaydon roaming around. We got the setup earlier. You and KC in the tunnel with Linnea, and hey, Jake, I think it's gonna happen, man. I think it's gonna happen tomorrow. And Jake, you think? And then you guys part ways. And Jake, what happens after that?
After that, we go into the locker room to get some post-game interviews. We're getting prepared to talk to Domas and JV, who are getting on their clothes. Same thing with Zach LaVine and Devin Carter. Next thing I know, I turn down and Sam, our good friend of the program, Sam Amick, tweets out saying that the Kings have parted ways, mutually parted ways, very important, mutually parted ways with Monty McNair, the general manager. I say that out loud, and I swear to God, I have never, like, it's a moment that I don't think I'll ever forget, where like Zach, Devin, JV, and Domas turn to me like, no, you're joking. Like, no way. Like, nah, no shot. Show them the tweet, and all of them are like, in shock. LaVine turns to me and says, dude, he was here 15 minutes ago telling us, like, congratulations on a great season. I look forward to, you know, improving the roster and making this thing
so work lying to them. He was in there 15 minutes just lying to them.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
I look forward basically. To improving the roster.
Well,
okay.
Well, look, yeah, I told Jake, too, this is why they got their ass beat yesterday. Their awareness is on zero. How are you so shocked by that?
Yeah, right. Like,
how are you shocked that this guy got fired?
When JV and Doma start talking Lithuanian, you're like, okay, some stuff's going down, all right? You're trying to figure it all out. Then a Kings coach comes down and says, hey, DC's having a team meeting up at Kings HQ upstairs and at the Golden 1 Center. Everyone needs to just throw something on, some clothes, and JV and Domas are just throwing stuff on. They haven't even dried off from their shower yet. Man, they closed the locker room, and the end of the Monty McNair era ended abruptly. And, you know, the roller coaster ride for this season is just, it's so on par for everything that the Kings have done this year. And it's even more on par that we already have a GM already in place less than 12 hours after the news and less than 3 hours after they officially send the thing.
12 hours, my ass. They had this GM in place 12 minutes before the firing.
Well, we talked about this, though. We talked about this yesterday with Joe Dumars.
Yep.
We talk about this all the time. We joke about it with NBA signings.
Yep.
Like, and that's where people, you know, I will push back just a little bit when people are like, wow, do this without a search. Like, no, they've been looking for a GM for months.
Yeah, and I laid that out on the insiders. They knew what they wanted to do. This has been the plan, as you just said, for months.
To a certain degree, I'm not gonna say I respect, because it's not in the respect, but I much rather not go through the charade of acting like you're looking for somebody when you already know Scott Perry's getting it. Give him the job. Let's get to work. Figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, Jake, were you a little surprised that they did it last night? Is that accurate to say?
I don't like the timing. Like, okay, I think there's ways of going about parting ways or firing people, right? And again, this is the NBA. It's volatile. This is part of the business. But like the way they did Mike Dirty in terms of, you know, had a practice, had a press conference, driving to the airport, fired him on the way to the airport. Same thing with Monty. You know, he makes his rounds pregame, talking to everybody. The game ends, 20 minutes after the game ends, you fire him. Like, I understand, like, you had a plan, but there's a classier way of going about it, if you ask me, and waiting till this morning would probably have been the more accurate way of going about it. But this is what, you know, I guess what the news cycle is like now, where you get it out as quickly as you possibly can, and you make the announcement as quickly as you possibly can. I'm just not, you know, I just don't like how they do their business sometimes. I just don't. Like, I'm not saying that they're bad businessmen or women, but I just don't. Like, it rubs me the wrong way they go about it. Like, yes, firings are never going to be good, but let's do it in a way that is maybe a little more conscientious and I don't know, more businesslike. Is that, like, make any sense? I don't know. I'm not perplexed by the move. I'm just perplexed about how they went about it.
That's completely understandable. I would just real quick want to ask both of you guys, if they would have lost by 5 last night, do you think the announcement is this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Being in that building, circumstances, yeah. That was
the firing was happening,
right?
Yes.
The nature in which Jake just laid out probably had a lot to do with what we saw on the floor.
And you should have seen Vivek and Anjali sitting courtside after the game. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, Vivek does this, like, his hands crossed between on his arms for the majority of the game, especially if they're losing, and that's, you know, not a crazy thing to see, but to see him and Angelique just sitting there like blank faces of like what just happened, what's going on. Like you felt a certain way. Like he was hot. Like you could tell like that he was just a different feeling that with the performance that they had last night.
I'm going to say something to the both of them. And I like Angelique a lot. And I think we consider her a friend. Mm-hmm. You two need to be more self-aware. Be more aware of stuff like that. You two need to be more aware of a lot of things. Right. Be more aware of that.
They always worried about, or Vivek is always worried about having somebody next to him, you know, in basketball wise, mm-hmm. to like bounce ideas off of or double check how he feels. They need to hire a PR firm.
Right. That's what they need Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they need.
That's what I need to look into. Facts. Should we do this right now? Don't make any moves until you talk to your PR manager and say, should we do this right now? Is this a good look?
Well, but don't sit on the floor. Don't sit on the floor like that, Jake, you were there. You were in the same circles, vicinity. We're putting the simplest puzzle together ever. I don't know if these two, like, to me, Monty addressing the team doesn't fit the mutually agreed to part ways narrative. That's not like you would have went in there, yo, I'm proud of you fellas. You did a great job. My time is done. It's nothing ill. It's just it's not really working. They have a plan. They're going to move forward. They're going to tell you all about it. But or you just don't go in there. You don't have to address them at all. You just don't go in there. So he was fired. And he knew he was being fired. Jake, we all knew. It felt like we were hearing like rumblings and it's like, oh, that's just chatter. And then now you realize it wasn't chatter. It was like this is what's happening. Monty's getting fired. Monty's getting fired and they already have their if they don't have their hire, they're very close to having their number one target in place.
No, you're absolutely right.
And that's what
right.
It felt like.
But it's not surprising, though, because everything that this ownership group has done is reactionary. It's not based off of calculated moves. It's very much reactionary. Oh, this doesn't work. Get him out of here. Oh, this isn't working. Get him out of here. Oh, this is working. Let's keep this. Like, it is a very reactionary group in terms of not taking their feeling, putting their feelings into those moves. You know, sometimes in business, you know, if you're having a bad day, at least the way I learned how to deal with business, and I learned this from my father, which I'll give him full credit for this. When you get bad news, especially at work or in a business setting, you take that news, you internalize it for 24 hours so you don't make a poor decision and a poor reactionary decision, and then you reestablish it or re-talk about it the 24 hours afterwards so you can feel like you fully digested it and actually have an appropriate reaction to it. I don't think that the ownership group knows how to do that right now. I think they're purely reactionary, and you know, credit Vivek, he wants to win. Like, it's not like they don't want to win and make this work. But the way he goes about it, I don't know if he knows what
you
he's
don't
doing.
Get credit for wanting to win. Like, that needs to end.
That's the bare.
You think so?
No, you don't get credit for wanting to win. No one goes, you know what? You know what I want to do today, Jake? When I appear on Sports Sunday, I want to suck. That's what I want to do. I want to be awful. I want to be incoherent and make no point. When you ask me about the Kings firing Monty McNair for no reason whatsoever, I'm going to talk about Fruit Loops. Yeah, nobody does that. Like, sure. Yo, you buy a sports team, you take the KC takes the floor at a basketball game. You take the anchor desk at CBS 13. I said, we're going to win. Mm-hmm. Most people, especially successful people, approach with the idea of, I want to win. You do not get credit for that.
Agreed.
You do not get credit for just wanting to win. And I'm not giving Vivek credit for that. I'm not giving anybody for credit for that. As Casey said, that's the bare minimum. That's tying your shoes each morning. That's all it is. That is all it is.
That's facts. And on top of that, and I know, look, I understand what people talk about, the process, all this other stuff. I'm not giving nobody no credit for processes either. You only get credit for W's and not L's. That's it. Because we could have the perfect progress or process in the world. And everything, oh, they did it right. They hired this person. They went through a search. They did it exactly how you want to. And Vivek moved out of the way, and this person was running things and everything. And if that person has a winning percentage of 353, he's not getting a contract extension. He's getting fired. Mm. And Vivek's getting blamed for hiring the wrong person. Just like, to be honest with you, if he went about it the wrong way and they get to an NBA Finals, I'm not going to, well, I don't like this NBA Finals because they did it the wrong way. Ah, to hell with that. At this point in this city, it's about wins and losses. Mm. Who's getting the wins? Who's getting the losses? Right now, Vivek and whoever he hires is getting loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. So they're doing a terrible job. Talking about Vivek, ownership, all this other stuff.
Do you think he's aware of that, though? Like, or do you think he consistently thinks it's someone else's issue?
Well, Kenny laid it out earlier. I think everyone in the organization thinks it's someone else's issue.
Great.
I think everyone else in the organization believes that someone else failed them, and that's why they couldn't be good. And I think that goes for Vivek. I think it goes for the front office. I think it goes for Mike Brown and the coaching staff, and I think it goes for a lot of the players. Everybody had it went for De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox publicly blamed his teammates, or publicly said he that they need something else on the podium of at a press conference once. Like everybody, there was in Casey has done a great job of laying this out multiple times this year. No one in this organization is taking accountability. Absolutely no one, and it continues today. No one's being held accountable for what happened last night. No one's being held accountable for the fact that this team had 48 wins a few years ago and looked to have a future ahead of them. Now they have 40 wins, and they look like the disaster that we are all so very, very familiar with. This right here, this moment that every Kings fan is experiencing, watching this show, listening on the radio, this is the most familiar feeling in the world. No matter your age, if you're a Kings fan, what you're experiencing today is the feeling you are most familiar with. Mm-hmm. When we said 2 years ago, enjoy this Beam Team year, it's never gonna feel like this again. We didn't realize it was never going to happen again. We just thought it was never going to be like this again.
Right.
Lo and behold.
Here we are.
Jake, you're kind of an outsider. Like, I mean, you're with us now for sure. But you are from the Northeast, and you know you've made your way around the world, and you've kind of settled here in Sacramento as a part of this team. Like, what is your perception of this as someone who's been around other places before?
Straight dysfunction. From the top down. Yeah. And I think what you hit perfectly is accountability. And I don't see any accountability with anywhere within that organization. I think from an outside perspective, seeing how good organizations are run and being able to be around organizations like that. For example, I was there with the Denver Nuggets before everything kind of toppled over this past year of having a GM head coach relationship before Calvin Booth was the GM, and seeing how they build a roster and how you build a culture and how you put that whole thing together. Man, that is a well-run organization. And then on top of that, you have a competent owner or a managing partner in Josh Kroenke that will come out and take ownership for when things are not doing well or not working out correctly and going about it in the right way. Seeing a team like the New York Yankees, for example, the highest class organization in baseball with the Dodgers and how they go about their business – that's not even comparable to what's happening here in Sacramento. It's like, now I understand why, you know, the phrase, the Kangs, and like, you know, the laughing stock of what Sacramento has been for, they've been through for the past two decades. Like, it all makes sense now. Like, you see it firsthand and you ask yourself, like, how the hell have you not learned anything from your past mistakes? You make the same mistake again, after again, after again. And I know this is being critical, but at the same point, you have paying customers that are coming to see your product on a consistent basis, and you're raising ticket prices for them to come see them, and you still make the same mistakes and don't learn from anything. So if from my outside perspective, to say that there's a massive amount of dysfunction, no accountability, no credibility, and there is truly no future right now, you know, it's the same thing that you guys were talking about a decade ago. You know, nothing's changed.
Here's the problem that I have, Jake, in that everything you said is correct. But here's the problem that I have. We laid it out earlier today. Damien laid it out earlier when he was breaking things down. Vivek Ranadive was not on the floor as Domas fumbled the ball around for damn near the entire second quarter. You know what I mean?
And the fourth.
He wasn't out there. But here's the problem. This is what I'm talking about when you talk about like true accountability. Nobody takes accountability anywhere in this organization. Because if things go wrong, you can always point back to Vivek. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve whatever. But Monty McNair, when you drafted Devin Carter, who can't play for the majority of the season for a team that lacks depth, or you don't go out and get a Jake LaRavia-type player in the offseason so we don't have to have a six-man rotate, there's no accountability for that from him. Because when things go wrong, they'll be like, well, look, I didn't have no control. He was telling me what to do the whole time. No, bro, you didn't go do this. And that's the issue. Everybody that comes through here, comes through this city, comes through this organization, always has, they in their back pocket, they got, I'm going to blame Vivek and everything will be all right. Instead of being good at your job. Mike Brown, the whole thing with Mike Brown. Mike Brown, a good coach. He had his hands tied on a couple things. He was right on a couple things. He was dead wrong when he brought Chris Duarte in here to challenge Kevin Herter for some reason. But no, we don't never hear about that, right? We just hear about how he didn't have the ability to do things he wanted to do. We don't ever hear about that.
Accountability. Mike did bring accountability.
Not for himself. Why don't we ever talk about Chris Duarte? Why don't we ever talk? Why doesn't he ever mention? And he doesn't have to. But why doesn't he ever mention, damn, it looks like Keon probably should have played some more. He don't ever say that.
Not wrong.
It's, well, you know, I can't ever get anything right done right here in this organization. And it's a microcosm. Vivek does the same thing. Vivek are probably sitting there saying, it's not my fault. It's these guys that I hired. No, all you guys are wrong to some degree. But it's just a bunch of people pointing fingers at each other. And that's why nothing ever gets done. Nobody's sitting up there from the players, from the front office, from the ownership, saying, man, I got to be better. It's always somebody else's fault.
I wonder how many people – I wonder, like, Vivek is the only one who doesn't have to wonder what his next job is. I feel like there's a certain point, Jake, when you get here and you start wondering, well, what is my next job? Because this is going a direction, or it's going to inevitably go in a direction, and I got to start thinking about what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. And that could – I mean, maybe that's Mike. Maybe it's Monty. I feel like my – I don't know. I don't know, man. What, you got any – what stood out to you at exit interviews today, media sessions today? Anything? I know you asked Domas about, you know, clarity and all of that. Anything really stand out to you talking to these guys today?
There's two things. So one or three, four things. We'll go four. First, we'll start with Domas. The biggest thing that they needed to add is a point guard. And I wanted to laugh at that because it's like, Domas, you had a point guard in De'Aaron and they traded him away. So like, you know, and I don't know how much you were involved with that and that decision making and wanting to work with Malik Monk, But the fact that Domas literally said, we need to bring in a point guard and that needs to happen this offseason is very poignant, and it's nothing new. We all know that. But like the fact that he actually said it and made it crystal clear that he wants a point guard and he wants to be part of the decision-making moving forward if he was going to stay here in Sacramento is very telling. I think it's something that, you know, Domas has gotten right now in terms of getting his head coach in Doug Christie, a guy that he likes working with. But, you know, at the same time, he did get what he wanted this year. And it still didn't work. So how much does Domas's voice really affect what this organization does moving forward? The clarity part of it for him is very interesting. When you look at Debo.
Can I just real quick?
Yeah.
My brother in Christ, you will not be a part of the decision making. When you can put the ball in the basket, not fumble it four straight times down the floor, hit an open three, score more than 13 points in a game at home that we lose and we go home, then you could be a part of this decision-making process. My brother, you have not earned that. I'm sorry, Jake.
And on top of that, he doesn't show up on the biggest games. That's the second year in a row been doing that. But, you know, that's Domas right now. Great regular season player, postseason, almost invisible.
Unfortunately.
And we've seen that for the past 3 years. Second thing is Debo with DeMar DeRozan. He keeps on saying how this is the most volatile season that he has experienced in his 16-year career, and heading into 17 years, he's not going to hit year 17 next year. He's not going to be playing that much more. And if I had to guess, he probably has two or three more years or seasons left. If I had to read the tea leaves, and I think this is pretty accurate to say without a substantial reporting on it or anything on the record, I have a feeling that DeMar DeRozan will be moved this offseason, and not just because of the contract, but because Debo wants to win and he wants to win now. I would expect him to go to a organization or a team that is in a win now mode and is missing one more piece of a veteran player. And I think DeMar is that guy. As much as he is a great organizational piece and a great veteran in that locker room, I just don't see him staying here much longer. I don't see him staying here past this offseason just because of, he's not a project. He's a veteran that has only a couple more years to play, and he wants to be able to compete in the playoffs and compete for a championship. And the fact that they didn't even do that in the 1 year that he was here, I think really does frustrate him. He has no regrets. It's a learning experience. And for what he's learned this year and how the Kings organization works, I think as a 17-year or 16-year veteran heading into the Hall of Fame one day, I don't think he wants anything to be a part of that. And that's just me reading the tea leaves right there. Another one, Keegan Murray. We asked him about, hey, you have an option to do a rookie extension this offseason. Have you thought about it? He's like, no, let my agent take care of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm working on my wedding plans for the summer. I said, okay, Keegan, go do you. I think Keegan also was very, very adamant saying, like, hey, I don't want to play the five anymore. If I could, I'd love to play the three, maybe stretch four when needed with a smaller lineup. But Keegan, I think, is much more comfortable in a wing position, especially in that small forward position. I think that's something that we have to look at heading into the offseason of getting a little more length and maybe pushing Keegan to that number three position. And the final one was just Zach LaVine and his future here. I asked him, hey, you have a player option for next season. Like, where do you stand about your future here in Sacramento? He's like, hey, I like Sacramento. I like being a place where I'm wanted. And the fact that they want me here is something that I really hold in high regard. But said, you know, he's not talking about an extension. He's not thinking about his player option. Right now he's going to go home to his wife and kids who he hasn't seen in 5 months in Newport, California, and then think about it from there. And the reason I bring up those four guys are those are the four main guys. Of course, Malik, as you guys have already talked about, has said, like, I ride and die with the city. I'm here. I'm all in. And I don't expect anything different from Malik.
Right.
But I'm also intrigued to see what his role turns into this offseason. He had four different roles this year, guys. And, like, I think – that messed up his game a little bit. I think if you take a blank slate and look at what Malik did, I know he's going to want to be the starting two guard next season, but I think he's the guy that comes off the bench and he needs to embrace, and someone needs to have a very tough conversation with him of like, you need to be the Lou Williams of the league. Be okay being a ridiculously good six man. And at the end of the day, it's more important if you close the game than start it. But those are my big takeaways. From media day today or exit interviews today, it was just the two words that kept on coming to me or kept on being repeated is clarity and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
clarity of where the hell this season, where the hell is this organization going, and consistency of, can we keep the same people here for the whole stinking season? Because the amount of times people rattled off losing Mike, losing Luke Laux, losing Wes Wilcox, now losing Monty McNair, and all the volatility that happened, like, people can't believe that this has been only one season. It's been five seasons in one.
Jake, we got to let you go. We'll see you Sunday. Before we do, your gut on Doug Christie.
He's the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Okay. All right. We appreciate you, Jake. Great stuff. Breaking news to players. That's what he does. Jake Gaden, we'll see you Sunday night on Sports Sunday, my man.
Good night, guys. Have a great day.